Just a warning before we start, this episode contains a discussion about pornography and sexual violence. If you or a loved one are struggling with an addiction to porn or any sexual trauma, you can find resources in the episode description. Thanks for listening. Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Carly Duke, and I am here with Chris Roby to kick off this extra special episode.
Yeah, we've been planning this for a while, and we're not doing our typical three parts like we usually do, but we're going to have two sections, one hosted by myself and Tobin Hodges, and the other hosted by Carly and Kelly Fan.
Yes. So if you've been listening for the last couple months, you would have heard Tobin and Kelly on separate episodes. I think Kelly was in January. Tobin was in February.
Right.
Tobin is the program director of Teen Life, and Kelly is our digital media manager. Mm-hmm. And so they're deeply connected with Teen Life, and we trust their voice. And this was a conversation. If you didn't listen to last week, please go back and listen. But this is a conversation that we felt like needed a little bit more time. And even needed some gender specificity.
Yeah.
Is that the word I'm looking
for? I like the way you said it and the intonation.
Thank you. So we thought this would be a really cool conversation for Chris and Tobin to talk from the guy side and talk specifically about how to talk to teen boys. And me and Kelly are going to talk from the girl side and specifically conversations to have with your teen girls. So this is a conversation I really think will be beneficial for anyone listening.
All right, Tobin, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the dangers of pornography from a male perspective. And so welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here, but also like this is just a weird topic to talk about in general. So
yeah,
I'm glad to do it with you.
And generally in the United States, the subject of sexuality, pornography is kind of cloaked in some shame and some darkness. And there's a lot of reasons that we won't go into on the podcast, but just in general, people don't like to talk about this. And it kind of bleeds through to our work with teenagers. But to start with, I just wanted a quick bullet point and talk about, I think everyone would agree that most people would agree that pornography is unhealthy. The viewing of pornography is unhealthy. It's addictive. But just more to the point, it normalizes sexual violence in relationships. And so there's a study that showed that 88% of the scenes showed in most popular porn videos include acts of violence, both physical and verbal, towards the female performers. And so you're really, you know, especially for a young adolescent mind who is just coming to into their sexual identity, if it's formed through violence, that's a huge problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Porn can also lessen the enjoyment in future sexual encounters with real partners. Obviously, if perceptions of sex are but through acting, it kind of makes it like it's not real or not attainable, and also makes porn promotes sex as a solitary sport. And so, obviously, it emphasizes masturbation, the male brain, that porn can replace an actual sexual relationship, right?
Yeah.
And so, obviously, it takes sex from what is real to what is imagined. And finally, porn can lead to a dramatic rise in sexual dysfunction. And there's a lot of studies on this with males who view a lot of porn are sexually have sexual dysfunction, which can drive a lot of other issues as well. So we don't want to spend a lot of time talking through, you know, the reasons why it's bad. Those are a few reasons, and there's obviously moral issues that people would have as well, but just from a purely psychological standpoint, it's bad. At the Teen Life Podcast, we want to talk about relationships and connections, right? And so what we want to talk about here is, because of those things, how do we talk about this subject of pornography with teen boys?
Well, you know, the thing is that I think both you and I are approaching I'll call it a danger zone, because I have a 13-year-old son, and your two boys are not too far back from that. And just in general, you know, you just said all those stats about how it promotes these things that are not actually real. But I think that's also true with like the type of women that you end up marrying and you end up right. being with. And so that also affects that as well. So one of the things that I talk about with people, when, you know, whenever I talk about this stuff with my friends or people that ask me how I would handle it and how I'm going to handle it, one of the things I say is we need to be ready to have the conversation because it's going to happen more than likely. And so like even my wife is kind of like the, you know, got her head in the underneath in the sand type situation and just mm-hmm. doesn't think we're going to have to deal with that. And I'm like, no, we will, like more than likely in some ways. And a lot of that is not even to the fault of these teeny boys, because just think about like just driving down the street. Like if you drive to downtown Dallas, you're going to go by at least 4 or 5 billboards that are automatically going to tempt the teen boy and put them in a situation where they think that that's what they want and that's what they right. see. And, you know, so I just think that as a parent, you have to be ready to have this conversation and make it as less, the least amount of awkward as possible, because it's already awkward enough for these teens who are struggling with their body changing and their hormones changing. And the last thing they want to do is talk about this stuff with their parents, but they don't realize as a teenager that it's actually important to kind of get this out of the dark and be open about it.
Right. And on our podcast, we talk a lot about being shockproof. And this is, I would say, of all the things to be shockproof about, this is both the most difficult and the most important. Mm-hmm. It's the most difficult because, like you said, it's awkward to talk, especially to your most vulnerable to pornography teen boys, about this subject without it getting weird. But also, it's super important that you as a parent or you as a trusted adult are trustworthy with such a sensitive topic, where you're not going to bring more shame than what they're already feeling about this. Like you said, Toby, we almost want to, it sounds weird, but we almost want to assume that they are looking yeah. at this or maybe have that mindset. But what are some signs that you would say that a teenager is into porn? Like what are you seeing? What are the symptoms, would you say?
You know, I think going into the room a lot is definitely part of that. Being in the room with the door closed, like, I don't know, you know, each family has different rules on how they do technology and stuff in their, you know, with their kids. And I just think being removed from people, being removed from the family is your first sign, especially if they're going into the room late at night and just kind of having some time like where you don't really know what's going on. This sounds dumb, but like really long showers for boys is mm-hmm. probably another sign of maybe you need to be having a conversation with them. The unfortunate thing about the teens these days is that there is, so it's just, you can trip and fall into getting this stuff. Whereas when we were children, it was more of a, like you had to be active and find it, which we did, but now they don't have to do that. They can literally pull up a website in 2 seconds and get what they need or what they want or what they think they want. And so I just think that making sure that you are keeping aware of what they are looking at on their phones and their technology and stuff like that is a big part of that. But just noticing if they're being removed or being, I don't know, real coy with their phone. Like I have an agreement with my son that anytime I ask to see his phone, like he has to hand it right over.
Right.
And if he ever acts suspicious, which he hasn't yet, he will. But if he ever acts suspicious, that's my cue of, okay, there's something on there, whether it's a conversation, an app or some sort of website he visited that I need to be looking for to figure out why he's being suspicious, because that's going to be your biggest clue, I think.
Well, too, some of the research that we did, we'll attach to this podcast, but one kind of talks about how really a lot of this will start with innocent searches on Google. And there are so many euphemisms and so many different ways to talk about sex and pornography, where if a kid's just Googling something to figure it out, find something out, who knows what's going to pop up right away. And so being able to stay on top of that as well. I think, you know, one of the things as a parent that probably brings a lot of anxiety is, okay, if I discover this, or, you know, there's some disclosure that my kid is looking at porn, what do I do? What do I do if they're looking at porn and or addicted to porn? I'll come back around again. Being shockproof, I believe, mm-hmm. is your first thing. And even though you're screaming inside and you're like, oh, not my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Your kid seeing the way that you're responding to this, responding calmly and with compassion, isn't necessarily condoning the activity. I think there's a lot of, you know, a lot of parents feel like, well, if I don't immediately shut it down, they're going to think it's okay. I think they know it's not okay. I think they know mm-hmm. that they should not be doing this, because if they felt like this was an okay thing, they would just do it out in the open, right?
Yeah, totally.
It's all done in solitary. So like, we don't like that we're doing this. Our kids don't like that they're doing this. And so showing compassion is a really, really big part of this. I also too think being able to connect what is digital to what is real is really, really important, that those people on those screens are real people.
Mm-hmm.
And what you are seeing is dehumanizing. It's not real. And we need to understand that it's not real, and that those are real people, and girls are real people that are worthy of our honor, and that we don't view them just as sexual objects.
Yeah. And I think too, it's just important to, if you as a person, as a child, experience this, maybe draw on your own experiences with your child and talk about how, you know, you struggled with that, or if you did, or you know, possibly talk, set them up with somebody who has struggled with that as a, you know, a trusted adult. One of the things that I was taught when I was in junior high was to have like an accountability person, like a person that's not my parent. So like a youth minister or a mentor, like an adult trusted mentor.
Right.
And just like, or even a friend, maybe like if you're in high school, it's a friend, that anytime that you are feeling that if your student is feeling, you know, that urge to do that, they can shoot a text, say, hey, like, can we, you know, have a conversation so I can get my mind distracted, or hey, like, you know, whatever. There's also like more restrictive ways of going around this. Like, I know that there's some apps that like kind of shadow the phone and send a report to parents, you know, which mm-hmm. And so I know some parents are kind of, you know, weary of that because it feels like Big Brother, but it's, you know, maybe that's what your student needs or your teen needs. Like, that's just kind of, you kind of have to decide whether or not you're going to be like, you know, a little parent NSA, or if you're going to,
right.
Or if you're going to like, you know, give them the chance to kind of come to you. And so there are things out there that you can do to help prevent that. But here's the other thing, like, Google and Google Chrome and you know, all the Internet Explorers now have incognito mode, which is basically one of the worst things I think that was ever created for
right.
this situation, because it kind of blocks anybody from ever seeing what you're going to do. So like, these kids are smart and they know how to get around some of that stuff. So if you set up boundaries, you may think, oh, they're good, I'm good, and you kind of wash your hands of it. You're not. Like, they're going to get around that stuff. So having the accountability, you know, with the child or with the student is going to be really key. And whether that's with you or, like I said, a trusted person, then I think that's going to be the best help.
And this is all about relationship in the end. That
exactly.
If you want to develop a healthy sexual ethic with your adolescent, be able to speak truthfully about these things, be able to share open and honestly about struggles, about how we were made and our desires, all those kinds of things. This is a sticky conversation, but we really encourage you as parents to be mindful that this is an important issue to be talking about with your adolescent boy. We hope this is a helpful conversation for you. We're going to kick this over to Carly and Kelly to talk about the female perspective of pornography.
Okay, Kelly, now that we have had the conversation with the guys, from their perspective, let's jump into girls, because I think, honestly, girls are overlooked around the topic of pornography because most people assume it's a guy issue.
Absolutely. That's, I think, one of the number one reasons why girls end up in crazy situations, because nobody's ever told them that it was mm-hmm. a possibility.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. So just a couple stats. I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because I want to get into the actual danger specific to girls and how we can talk about it. But the percentage of women who consume porn has increased. From 2017 to 2021, it's increased by 9%.
That's crazy.
I know. And so a stat said that 3 out of every 10 consumers on Pornhub is female.
And we were talking before we started recording. I wonder what it is that changed.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't looked into that, but I would be very curious to know what the difference is.
Yeah, that is, if it's more culturally acceptable I wonder what has changed in that time. I don't have an answer, but our listeners should research that
yeah.
if you're curious about that. And I do think research has shown that women are just as visually stimulated by porn as men.
And that's interesting too.
I know, because I think most people assume, well, it's because men are visually stimulated and that's their visual. Women are more emotionally connected. But I do think it goes both ways. And so this is a conversation we need to be having about girls, whether they are looking at porn or they're in a relationship with someone who is looking at porn. This conversation to have. So some dangers from a girl's perspective, I think one of the big ones is sexual violence.
Right. And that's something that statistically has increased. In fact, 58% of young college women that are having sex have experienced choking during sex, which is terrifying.
Yeah, that is.
Especially as a parent. But I mean, it's terrifying just as a woman that that's happening. And we were talking earlier, too, about how girls who watch porn are more likely for things like that to happen to them, partially because it's normalized and they maybe don't recognize the signs of toxic relationships or abusive relationships.
Yeah, I also think when girls are watching porn, they believe I have to do whatever a guy wants because that's what happens in the porn that I'm watching. And we talked about last episode that a lot of teenagers believe that pornography is an accurate representation of real sex, which is so scary. And so if they are accepting these relationships, if they're more likely to be victims of sexual harassment or sexual assault, and they think that's normal because of what they're watching, that's a really scary thing, which also leads, though, into sexual insecurity.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking at people that have been airbrushed or maybe are just more physically endowed than than I am, you know, if all you're looking at is someone, anytime you're comparing yourself to someone else, really, it doesn't even matter if they're more beautiful or not. If you're comparing yourself, you're more insecure about yourself.
Well, and I also think when it comes to like feeling insecure about that, like you're maybe feeling the pressure to be more fun, more adventurous in what you're doing, more naughty maybe in sex acts. And not only are you judging yourself, but you're probably also judging your partner based on what you're watching.
Right.
Which is an unhealthy thing for a relationship.
Yeah, unrealistic expectations.
Yes. And unrealistic expectations, I think, is really what this comes down to for me. You are setting expectations based on fantasy. And I also think, I do think, as we've talked about, pornography is a big deal for girls. And it's a bigger deal, so you need to be talking about it. But this can also, for girls, take different forms than just visual. This could be novels that they're reading. It could be, and this is visual too, but movies, TV shows, social media relationships, even if it's not porn. If you're watching something like season 2 of Bridgerton, just came out. If you're watching something like that that isn't labeled as porn, but you are watching these romantic characters and how they treat each other, and then you're holding these high school boys to a standard that's unrealistic, that's being played by an actor or being written by this great novelist, you are not going to have a successful relationship.
Well, and Bridgerton is tame compared to some of the things that teens are watching.
Yes.
It's not even the worst of it. You might think, oh, Bridgerton, I watch that too. But that's nowhere near some of the things that they're watching.
Right. Even like thinking back to Euphoria, which we talked about a couple of episodes ago. These are the things that they're watching and basing, is my relationship like that?
Right.
Or you're basing their relationships when they get into high school and early college of, well, we had a fight, but this person I follow on social media, they never fight. Look at everything they post about. So this relationship must be doomed, and so I'm going to break it off. And how can you have a healthy, normal relationship if what you're comparing yourself to is unrealistic?
Well, and I don't remember if you talked about it in the last episode, but there was a study that they did in the UK where they felt like marriage was actually less popular with younger generations because their expectations for marriage were so different. And they thought, oh, it's either going to be violent because I've seen all this violent porn or other things like that, or they think, oh, it's supposed to be perfect because everyone's perfect on social media. And so their relationships were kind of doomed from the beginning because they didn't know what a healthy relationship could look like.
It's so interesting. I also, I'd have to go back and find the actual article, but I saw something that basically said, often girls who watch pornography when they're really young are scared off from any future sexual encounters because they think that's what it is.
Right, exactly.
They think it's going to be very violent and they don't want any part of that, which on one hand, a parent or a dad might be going, sweet, I don't have to worry about her. But that is not a healthy
right.
view to have of sex and to have of a healthy relationship. So just something to keep in mind, especially if you're talking about books for girls, there is not a good rating system for that like there is for TV.
No. In fact, schools have been getting in trouble lately for having books online and books in their libraries that people are objecting to the sexual content in the book.
Yes. And I mean, you can easily find erotic lit that talks about rape, sex. Like, I mean, you're talking about all kinds of stuff that you're just going, oh, I do not want my daughter reading that, but I had no idea that that's what she was looking at.
Right. Or at the very least, if you're okay with your daughter reading that, it should be a conversation that you're having with whether or not mm-hmm. you feel like that fits in with your values. Because if you don't know what conversation you're supposed to be having, you don't know what she's internalizing or how that's affecting her self-esteem or her right. body image.
Right. And so, Kelly, I think we talked about this before. This is a scary world to raise boys in, but it scares me for my daughter, too.
Yeah.
Of this is a conversation that I need to be having with her, not only about is she looking at images, videos, reading things that she shouldn't be or that could be classified as porn, but also, is she dating someone who is going to be holding her to a standard that they've seen in pornography?
Right.
And that's a scary thing. And so it is so, so important that we talk to our girls about it.
From a very early age, earlier yes. than you feel like it's comfortable, is definitely the time to start. I think that's the number one thing that when I'm having conversations with other parents always surprises me a little, but maybe not enough. That it needs to start so much earlier than people mm-hmm. are comfortable with. Because when we were kids, we were talking before, I never really got a sex talk at all. So, I mean, when we were kids, we definitely didn't talk about it. And I think that kind of sets what we think is the norm. Mm-hmm. But that is not today's reality. Today's reality is you need to be constantly just even for like a 4 or 5 year old saying, hey, there are good pictures and bad pictures. And if you see a bad picture, you need to look away. And if you're talking about a teenager, talking about this is what a healthy relationship looks like. And this is what I hope for you to participate in now, tomorrow, mm-hmm. you know, whenever that's going to happen. And also reinforcing, you know, if we're talking about ways to kind of porn proof girls, reinforcing that her intrinsic value is not based in either her sexuality or what some boy thinks of her. If she has a very strong self-esteem and a very strong body image and just identity and knows who she is, she's less likely to fall prey to some of those things that we don't want to happen to anyone.
Yes, exactly. And I do think if you're listening and going, oh, I have a high school girl or boy, and I have never had this conversation, it's still not too late.
Right.
And so it is important to talk about it early, but it's not too late if you haven't had this conversation. And any conversation is better than ignoring it. But I think we talk about it a lot on this podcast. Chris and Tobin mentioned being shockproof, but I really do think as a parent, it's easy to jump and how can I punish them? How can I add restrictions? How can I do this? But in the moment, if you can just think, what is the best way for them to get help? How are they going to hear me and get the help that they need? So for example, if your daughter is dating someone and she comes to you and says, he said he wanted to do all these things. He wanted to choke me. I don't know. He's watching pornography. He's addicted to it. My inclination as a parent would be break up with him right now. You are done. And I'm not saying that can't be a conversation in the future, but maybe in that moment, take a breath and think, okay, how can we get him help?
Right.
How can we talk to your daughter about what she can do so that she is feeling valued and not objectified by boys? Because if you fly off the handle, is she going to even listen to you moving forward? Or is she ever going to come back to you with that information?
Right. I think the key word in that conversation is empathy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more you can have empathy for your daughter and even for maybe the boy that is threatening her, the more you're going to be able to kind of enter into that situation and listen and just offer advice that she's going to listen to, that she's going to be receptive to.
I definitely think so. And this is not an easy conversation to have with teenagers. It's not a fun one to have. it's not a fun thing if a teenager comes to you and says, I've been looking at pornography, I've been watching pornography, or I'm dating someone who is wanting me to go so far sexually because of pornography. Mm-hmm. That's not a fun thing to hear as a parent, but I really think you would rather hear it from them than find out that they're hiding it.
Absolutely. And we'll list on the website too a lot of resources and articles that you can kind of comb through at your leisure and get some different talking points from, so that maybe that's a little bit easier for you as mm-hmm. a parent or as a caring adult to open the door to that conversation, because we know it's not easy.
Right. And it's also not a bad idea if you feel like you need professional help, or your teenager comes to you and says, I need more help than what you're able to give me, or even what a website like Covenant Eyes is able to give me.
Mm-hmm.
Help them help themselves and get them a professional to talk to them and kind of work through some of this stuff with someone who does this regularly.
And there are many, many therapists and counselors out there that do exactly this regularly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So as we wrap up this pornography deep dive over the last couple of weeks, we don't want to scare you, but at the same time, we want you to be aware, and we want to keep your teenagers safe and know that they're valued. Yes. No matter what they're watching, no matter what anyone else is watching. And this is an area where you can have empathy and connect with your teenager.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.